Let us take our Micah chapter 6 and call it, what does the Lord require of us? Let's begin by reading verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah, Micah 6, 1, 2, and 3. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains. Let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and be strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people. He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And where have I wearied thee? Testify against me. All right, in verse number 1, the prophet Micah asked the people to hear what the Lord saith. What does the Lord say to them? What are they to do?
Arise.
All right, arise. What's this word contend mean?
Fight.
And also in verse 2 it says the Lord has a controversy, and they're to contend thou before the mountains, let the hills bear thy voice. In other words, answer me, you've got a controversy with me, and let the hills hear what you have to say, and don't hide it. And the mountains are, in verse 2, the Lord's controversy. What does controversy mean?
Disagreement.
Alright, that's repeated twice in verse 2, isn't it?
And
arguing, yes, the Lord's controversy. Does the Lord have controversy with us today? Yes, he does. What does he have controversy about today?
Our sin,
that's right. What else?
Those who aren't saved.
Those that aren't saved, there's controversy there.
We don't walk the right way.
Don't walk the right way. What about our Bibles?
Wrong Bibles.
There's controversy there. Church music and dress and all kinds of standards. The Lord's controversy. And he's strong foundations of the earth. Now, when you talk about a foundation, what does that imply?
Building.
What else about that building?
Truth,
yes. What else?
What all our beliefs are built on.
Alright. But a foundation indicates what?
Strong.
A building?
Strong.
You need to build on it. All
right. And also, it seems to indicate, and there are other verses as well, that the earth has a foundation and is stable and does not move. See, that's the thing that is the basis of the geocentricity instead of heliocentricity. The earth being the center of the universe, but the sun or the helium, but the earth being the center of the universe. Foundations. So the things revolve around the earth, but the earth is stable. These are some of the things that certainly could be called upon, as well as many other verses on that. Now, what does the Lord have in regard to his people in verse 2? Yes, Tom?
Can I talk about the hills and the mountains?
Yes.
You know, in the Bible, that one time one side, another.
That's right. Six on one side, six times on the other.
I don't know about cities, but about the whole people, a whole group of people. And they talk back and forth.
Evil or evil?
Is it evil by evil? Is it evil?
And Gerizim.
Gerizim, that's right. Six on one side, six on the other. Go ahead.
Oh, the six tribes. Yeah. And they come back and forth. And there's a psalm where they go back and forth. There's a psalm.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember because I'm not teaching this lesson. And then other times, like with Goliath, I forget if he was in the valley and the people were around. And they talked. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have things we have today. But they could use echoes. You know the echoes? Echo?
They shouted out.
And you can holler out.
I don't know about echoes, but they shouted out.
I heard echoes.
Yes. But the Goliath shouted out and defied Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Find a champion to defeat him.
But what I'm talking about is there. Out there talking, so they actually could be howling out there to the mountains and the hills, and people are listening. I'm making that up, but
yeah. In other words, yell loudly so that the mountains could hear your voice and the hills could hear your
There's
voice.
There's people there.
Oh yes, there may be people on the mountains. But in the case of the six tribes on one side, six tribes on the other, what were they? One saying, what was the other saying?
The other's the curses.
Okay, if you do what the Lord has, here's a blessing. You don't do what the Lord says, there's curses. So curses and blessings, that's what that was in the Old Testament. So controversy in verse number 2 with his people, that's what the Lord has. And then it says he will plead with Israel. What does plead mean?
Beg.
Beg, all right. That's a word used in trials, isn't it? pleadings. That's what a lawyer writes up, is a pleadings. And he's going to plead. However, he's going to have a real council of war with his people and a controversy. But why would the Lord have a controversy with his people? Why would it make the Lord to do that?
Because people weren't agreeing with him.
All right.
Doing what they were supposed to do.
They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So he's really letting them know in advance. If you have any comments, give us a call, 856-2619-018, or simply email us questions at vftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Then in verse number 3, who's the Lord address here?
His people.
His people. What's the question that he asked them?
What have I done unto thee?
Why does he ask them that, do you think?
Pardon me? Maybe they were angry.
They're angry with him. In other words, they act as if the Lord has done something harmful to them. They're just acting. If somebody is harmful to us, sometimes we just sort of shun them, or we sort of act a little bit maybe angry or whatever. See,
we don't know what we've done.
Sometimes it goes to people, you're mad at me, now what have I done to you? See, that's what they say to the Lord, really. They're angry with him. What have I done to thee? What have I done to thee? See? And why have I wearied thee? What has wearied me?
Made
you
tired.
Did you tire? What say that?
Wear out.
Many invest to do what?
Testify against.
What does that indicate as far as the Lord's fairness?
Tell me what's the matter.
He wants them to speak out. He doesn't just want to drown them out and wipe them off the face of the earth. He wants to hear their side. Anna.
I think it's in John chapter 8. Let me find it. Christ says to them, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? That's John 8:46.
Good. That's good. Testify against me. And so the Lord wants to hear. What happens when you testify and give your complaints to the Lord? What might happen in your life or in your as you do that? Yeah, that time?
Well, in Job's case, the Lord then responded back to him.
All right.
And then he had humbled himself before the Lord because he knew that the Lord was right.
All right. What might that do to the people here, Micah's people, Israel, if they did testify to him? What might they find out as they were doing this?
They were wrong,
that's right. They would have to analyze everything, see? And they touch, well, let me see, Lord, maybe they couldn't have testified anything against him. Maybe he's not done anything to them, never worried them. So they realized, well, maybe they shut their mouths. But testify against me. The Lord was open to the other side. It's important, the other side, even though they were wrong, that he was fair. It indicates the Lord is always fair. Yeah, Mom?
Sometimes if a person lets you talk, you can sort of help solve your own problem by
yes.
talking.
Yes, you can.
Sometimes you can see when you're wrong.
Right.
Or when you're right. But you're more at, if a person will listen, so evidently God was going to listen to them.
He's going to listen.
Always God probably didn't listen. And people don't listen to us either.
No, a lot of times.
So we don't come to the right conclusions because no one's listening.
Yes, sometimes that's true. Let's read verses 4, 5.
Some of us talk too much, so nobody wants to listen to begin with.
Well, that's true many times. We don't know who that would be that talks too much, but sometimes some of us do. And but, of course, as Abraham Lincoln said, what?
Which one do you want?
Well, the one that says to sin by silence.
When we should speak up makes cowards of men.
You got it. That's the right quote. To sin by silence when we should speak up makes cowards of men. See? So sometimes we can't.
The other one was it.
Okay, give me the other one.
Wait, let me think about how it starts. Just a moment.
It's better to
remain silent and be thoughtful than to open your mouth and remove all possible doubt.
You got that right, Anna. So, two quotations from Abraham Lincoln. All right. I think that was Abraham. Now let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 again. For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. All my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that he may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of the year old? Or in verse number 4, remember the question was asked in verse 3, what have I done unto thee? What's the answer here in verse 4 that the Lord gives?
He's telling
the good
things.
Good. What has he done to them?
brought them out of the
What's the North Carolina region? How many years roughly were they there?
400.
Over 400 years. 400, 450, 480, but over 400 years. Redeemed thee. What does it mean to be redeemed?
Brought back.
Was this an easy thing for the Lord to do or a difficult thing as we look at it? Difficult as we look at it, for the Lord. It's easier for him. But you know, how many men, plus women and children, came out of Egypt?
Men was about 600,000.
600,000 men, plus women and children. It could be 1 or 2, 3 million, depending on how many children they had, see? And they left there and they had all these different things. But the Lord brought them out and redeemed thee. What does redeemed mean?
Brought back,
all right? Out of the house of servants. What does redemption cost for God to redeem sinners? What was the cost? Death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. Perfect God and perfect man. That's the price, the shedding of His blood, the price of our redemption. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed by with corruptible things that silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Is it spot first or blemish?
I don't know. Look at
that.
It doesn't matter. Let's go ahead.
It does matter. Yes, it does matter.
I know it
matters,
but
I'm... That's why I remember it, but I may be wrong.
Just a moment. Well,
1:18-19.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot.
That's what I was right, blemish and spot. Okay, so redemption, very important. Out of the house of servants, wait a minute, who are the servants?
They were slaves,
weren't they? And they just had menial homes, little huts to live in. What did those servants do initially? What did Pharaoh have the Israelites doing?
Well, the men were building stuff with bricks, straw and stuff.
Big cities, probably, and probably maybe the pyramids,
I don't know
who
knows?
What
they were doing.
Didn't say they were building cities?
They were servants, really, they were slaves, weren't they? And a house of servants. Who did he send to help them to do this? Redemption. Yes, it is. Who did they send?
Moses and Aaron and Miriam.
Who was yes, Anne?
Exodus 1:11. Therefore they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses.
Good, you got it. Pithom and Ramesses. Mm-hmm. So they were builders of houses, and they were wanted to go sacrifice to the Lord, remember? Because the Lord told Moses, come sacrifice and leave Egypt. He said, well, it's, you want to go sacrifice? What did they take away from them?
The straw.
They had to find their own stubble or little pieces of whatever it was, did they have the same total number that they had to produce a day? Same, the tail was the same, the toll was the same. And so I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, Mary. Why did he have to send Moses before thee? Where was Moses before he sent him? Where did Moses start?
Midian. Started in Midian.
Well, before Midian.
He was started in the palace in Egypt.
Okay, he started in the palace in Egypt. And
he started in the Nile River.
And did he make any noise in that passage?
He was crying.
He's crying.
Who
heard the cry?
Pharaoh's daughter.
That's Miriam. That's why it puts in Miriam.
No, Miriam washed. Miriam knew that he was there.
Yes.
Pharaoh's daughter found him, but she heard his cry.
She, yeah, maybe she was watching. And because the Pharaoh's daughter said, young man, would you go get me a maid to nurse this baby? And she talked to Miriam, so Miriam must have been close by. And so Miriam was in there.
Watching the baby.
Wasn't there, right, Anna? I mean, Tammy?
It says, and when she had opened it, she saw the child.
Hebrews chapter.
And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. So it seems like she saw first and then heard Moses cry.
Yes, and then she said, was he one of the people from the Israelites, the nursing for me? Is that what she said next?
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call? So actually Miriam went ahead and asked. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?
Mm-hmm.
So she initiated that.
That's right. So that's why Miriam, was Miriam always a good little sister?
Big sister.
Maybe she always a good
sister? No. When she's little, when she's young.
What happened to Miriam that got in trouble?
She thought she was equal with Moses.
All right.
And upset with the woman that Moses married.
Okay.
Well, what I think is very interesting, it said me by Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So Miriam had a leadership role that we hardly ever hear about.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the things was that she secured his own mother to nurse him and brought him up for 3 months.
She was the little girl.
When she was a little girl, yes.
I don't think it says that the child's name was Miriam. I think we just all assume it was Miriam. And look and see.
Well,
said to his sister.
To his sister.
The question is, does it say anywhere?
I don't know that.
Had other siblings or did not have other siblings?
I don't know.
We never heard of another sister.
That's the only one we had.
But we always assumed the sister was Miriam.
Well, when Miriam was speaking out against Moses for the wife that he married, what did God do to Miriam?
He was a leprosy.
Terrible.
Put Miriam in her place.
Yes, put her in her place.
She was a singer.
She was?
She sang.
She did? Where did you get that?
I don't know. I just remember it.
Questions of BGBC.
She did it after the singer. The,
she was a singer.
She was dried up.
With her tambourine.
Okay.
She let the women in singing.
All right. So Miriam was a part of this. Was Moses younger than Aaron? Was Aaron younger than Moses?
He was the youngest.
Older than Aaron?
He was the oldest.
Older than Aaron?
She was older than
Aaron, I believe. Okay. So these three were used of the Lord.
What was Moses' mother's name?
Jochebed.
Jochebed.
Yes. So this Moses was the one that led them, and Aaron. Was Aaron always a good boy, a good man?
No.
So the wilderness. What did he do wrong?
Made a calf.
What did he tell the truth about the calf, or did he lie about the calf?
Out came the calf.
But actually, he made that calf. That's covering up truth with lies. It's a serious situation.
They probably knew how to do all that because they did all that stuff in Egypt. They were very gifted craftsmen.
Yes.
Even though they were slaves.
In Exodus 15, it says Moses sang, so I'm not sure. I do sort of remember Miriam.
Miriam did sing,
but I don't remember where.
If it's not written down, I know it's true.
Well, okay. Questions of ATBC.org or 856-2-1-8. Straighten this all out here, Rob, if you can find that in your computer. Did Miriam sing or did she not sing? That's the question before.
She played a tambourine.
All right. Did she play a tambourine or the timbrels or not?
She did. She all right. Around and danced around.
Now, let's go to verse number 5. My people, remember now what Balak came away of consulting. What did Balak want to do?
Balak.
What do you want to do?
Balak was...
I wanted
Balaam to curse Israel. Mm-hmm.
All right. You wanted to curse them because they were so big and they would kill them. See, curse them, then they could handle them. See, did Balaam curse Israel?
No, but he came because he wanted money.
Money. Was he a real true prophet?
No.
No, his heart was wrong.
But his prophecies came true.
Because finally the Lord got a hold of him, but did the Lord want him to go to Balak in the first place?
No, he told him not to.
He told him not to.
He kept insisting, he kept listening to this, the messengers that Balak sent. And
how many times did those messengers get sent?
Since the guy was...
At least 3 times.
Balaam?
Yes, that's one. Yeah, Hannah.
Here, Exodus 15, verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess...
the sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, singing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.
Good. Exodus 15. Mrs. Wade was correct.
I wrote a thing on her one time.
Good. Well, you got it right. Robert, we got that settled. We're going to talk about it.
Where do you find the story?
It doesn't say she was singing.
Well, because in Numbers, chapter 22, 23, 24. What was that?
Timbrels and dances. It doesn't
but that's says singing with the
women. Singing.
Oh, yeah. She answered them singing.
Yeah, singing. So, that's right. So, Mr. Wade.
She could have just told them to sing. I've never seen.
So, no, Balak now. Balak pointed out, first of all, did God say to Balaam, the false prophet, go with Balak? First, did he say go?
I don't know what he said.
Well, did he say go or not go?
No,
first, he said don't go. Then some more people came.
When is that?
Finally, in Numbers,
finally,
but when you go, what are the requirements?
You have to say what I tell you.
Say only what I tell you to say. So was did Balaam say what God told him to say?
Yes, he did. But along the way, he hit his donkey because his donkey stopped because there was an angel of the Lord in the path trying to slay him, and the donkey was trying to save his life.
So
when the donkey drove?
Yes,
that's
right.
The donkey talked.
Yeah. That would have been quite
funny.
So
some people think animals talk.
The dumb animal was wiser than Balaam in that instance. He was not slaying. And so, was Balak happy with Balaam's prophecies?
No.
No, he brought them from different places. Say, this mountain curse him, this mountain curse him, and he turned the curse into a blessing.
They stood on the mountains and cursed out.
Yeah. So, but Cain will consult and what Balaam said, answered him, Shittim and Gilgal, so you may know the righteousness of the Lord. In what way is God righteous? What does righteousness mean?
Anyway, he's being righteous, period.
All right, what does it mean? To be righteous.
Right.
Right, all right.
Holy.
Correct, holy. Mm-hmm. And sinlessness comes into that because wicked people can't be righteous, but God is completely holy, he's completely sinless, and he's without any sin, so righteous, and the righteous of the Lord. So the Lord...
anybody listening out there in Never Land?
Anybody listening in Never Never Land? Questions at BATBC.org, 856-261-9018.
Yes. This one never land doesn't exist.
All right, and
this one actually does exist.
All right, so the Lord did was to take this hireling prophet Balaam and turn his would-be curses into a blessing. And Balak was angry, just as angry as he can be. I thought to promote you to blessing. I'm going to give you a lot of money. Here you did, and so he was very furious. But Balaam, at the final, didn't care. But we've heard sometimes Billy Graham called Billy Balaam. Billy Bam instead of Billy Graham, because the hireling prophet, going to the moderates, the apostates, and Roman Catholics, and just compromising right and left and right and left, especially in his later years, started out okay, but 1950-51, but then immediately he got the whole Federal Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches together and sent his converts back into this mess and the Roman Catholic Churches. So, Billy Graham. But, then notice in verse number 5, he talks to those people again. Notice verse 3, all my people, who I've under thee, here's all my people again. And here we have an answer to the question, we've already answered it. Hello, Marilyn Jones from New York, what's up?
Hi. What's going on?
I see, well that's good. So he communicates. Good. Thank you, Marilyn.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Right. So, came from nothing but two, never been, but from Maine. We heard from that. I'm glad we had someone.
New York.
Carl and Peggy Albert from Maine. All right. Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. And so, remember what Bailey did. And then in verse number 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? This is a question. And bow myself. Now, what is the first suggestion in verse 6? One way you come before the Lord.
Shall I come with burnt offerings?
All right, and calves of year old. In other words, sacrifices.
Why does the calf have to be year old?
Well, the choice year of the calf, I guess. This is what the Israelite... Was it?
Blemish-free.
Blemish-free.
Still calf. And doesn't have the scars yet or injuries.
Injuries.
Disease.
That's right. He's going to say a few things here about this. The Israelites offered sacrifices that supposedly pointed to the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. But if they offered these sacrifices with wicked hearts and with hypocrisy, they're no good. And this is what the Lord's pointing out right here in these verses. Shall I come with burnt offerings? Is that the way to come before the Lord? Well, it's all right if the heart's right, but if the heart isn't right. And let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 together. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of lambs or 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, without mercy, without humbly, without God. Right, verse number 6 we talked about. Oh, we got one more verse. And the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? All right, in verse number 7, here's not only offerings, burnt offerings, and calves, but what else?
Rams.
How many of them? Oh, well, how about, what's the next thing? 10,000 rivers of oil. What would that mean?
Offering of oil.
Offering of oil, that's expensive. Firstborn of my transgression. Here's a substitutionary tenth of my firstborn, which did happen when?
In Egypt.
In Egypt, for the firstborn that didn't have the blood on the doorpost and people inside. And a man called me, disgusting man. He didn't believe the Bible. He thought John MacArthur's view of the blood of Christ was all right. And what about the Passover? He said, what if the people in the Passover in the houses didn't have any lambs? Suppose they were vegetarians. Could they do something with the fruit? I said, absolutely not. God says the blood. I see the blood. I will pass over thee. Then he said, what if they didn't want to put the blood? What if they had some red paint? Could they put the red paint on there? I said, absolutely not. What kind of apostasy? I really got upset with that guy. He had a whole bunch of nonsensical questions. He finally hung up on me when he saw that I was trying to get scripture on him. He just didn't want to do it. But the transgress, first more of that transgress, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. So,
well, they weren't going to fool the God or the angel. They would know what was over the door.
Absolutely, they would know. The angel of the Lord, yes, Tammy?
Who is the I here? This isn't prophetic, is it?
The first number seven, or first six and seven.
Seven.
Yeah. Well, wherever that's from, I think that he's simply saying people generally. I think it's the people he's trying to say, oh my people, in verse 5, the son of Israel, you may know, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? In other words, he's talking about the people of Israel and asking them, how should they come before the Lord? Bow myself before him. It seems like he's talking about the people, it's personified as an individual, and this is the way he's putting it. Shall I give my firstborn, sin of my soul? And then in verse number 8, he has showed thee, O man. See, he's talking about the man. Yeah, sin of my soul. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require in verse 8?
Walk humbly.
Okay, what else before that?
Do justly.
Do justly. Second?
Love mercy.
Have mercy. Third?
Walk humbly.
Walk humbly.
Just what I'm going to say?
Before
with thy God. See. Now, modernist preachers have preached on this almost like salvation by works. Martin Luther King, I think, is one of the ones he preached on this thing. Not salvation by grace. But what is the contrast here that God is making between offerings by hypocrites and sound people? What's the contrast?
Hi, we have a message.
A message, good. Read it off, Anna.
This is your saints I'm listening to,
Miss
Carter.
Good, Norma Carter from North Dakota. Thank you, Norma. Glad you're listening.
What did she say? Dear saints, I'm listening to.
That's good. So, Mrs. White says, anybody listening in there from every other land of Timbuktu? We've heard one from North Dakota and one from New York. That's great. Yes,
another one, too.
Go ahead, read off.
I have to get to it.
All right.
Just a second. This one's from Maine.
Oh,
hello,
good.
Everyone listening. Have a safe trip tomorrow morning. We'll be lifting you and Mrs. Wade in our prayers.
Good. Kyle and Vicki Albert. Thank you, Kyle and Vicki. We appreciate that very much.
Pray for us.
Pray for us, absolutely.
Pray for my husband.
We have a connection to make. Philadelphia to Atlanta, Georgia. An hour, change of planes, and then we fly from there to Charleston, South Carolina. So we have one change of planes. Just hope we make it, because when we get there, it's going to be at 4:30, and at the airport, if it's on time, and take half hour to get to the church, and that leaves us 5 o'clock, meetings at 7 o'clock. We have 2 hours to eat a quick supper and get all of our equipment ready and get ready to go. And?
Was it Charleston or Columbia?
Charleston, South Carolina, yeah.
I thought Charleston was on the shore.
I don't know where it is. But
it's on the shore.
Yeah.
That, I thought, would take more than a half hour.
Well, according to the pastor, it takes a half hour to go from the airport, wherever the airport is, see.
What are you talking about?
If it's in Charleston, South Carolina...
A half hour to get where?
To Greenville.
No. Get from the airport to the church.
I'm confused. It's not actually in Charleston.
No, it's a different town.
Not near Greenville.
No, nothing. 3 hours from Greenville. 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
3.5 hours. All right, so...
And you don't have to worry about that cloud that they were talking
about? No, because that's over here.
I know, and it's not coming.
No, nothing.
I don't think so. I didn't
hear anything. I called the airport today, and the Delta planes are still riding fine. Expect to go tomorrow. So, what is the Lord getting at here?
As far as... Inward.
What is it?
Their inward.
He's getting at their inward desire and the thought of their heart. Not just external. See, a lot of people can externally, as they do all the time, as the Roman Catholic Church does, as modern liberal churches do, recite a creed. That's just reciting a creed, whether it's the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or the Athanasian Creed, all kinds of different creeds. The creeds sound beautiful. The theologically sound, many of them, most of them. But does that alone make that person saved?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Just externals, like offering sacrifice, that's good. To offer sacrifice, if it's from the heart pointing to Christ, that's good. But you showed the do justly. They're not doing justly, these people. They're doing unjustly. Love mercy, they didn't like mercy, they were unmerciful to people.
Right.
And walk humbly, verse 8, with thy God. And so, how can a person walk humbly with his or her God?
Sorry.
It's hard, but how is it possible? What must be true in order to walk humbly with your God?
You have to know the scripture.
See, you can't walk humbly with the Lord. If you're not one of His, you're not walking, you're walking with the devil. So, be saved. And so, all the sermons that are preached on 6-8 of Micah, that talk about modernism and apostasy, the key is to, first of all, be saved and redeemed. And only then can you walk humbly with God. And that's difficult to do, as you say, you have to know the scriptures, you have to walk to know the scriptures, be led by the Spirit of God, and guided. All right, then verse number 9. What is the Lord's voice doing here?
He's crying in the city this time.
Unto the city. Why was the Lord interested in cities?
He's interested in the country and the city.
All right, countries, cities.
The hills,
people there, and that he wants them to see. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Now, what does it mean, a man of wisdom? Does it take a little wisdom to see God's name today?
Yes.
Yes, you have to know where to see it.
Yes.
You have to get the right Bible, or you have to want to get the Bible, want to open up the thing and ask the Lord to be with you.
And the heart, too.
What is it?
You have to have the heart.
You have to have the heart, absolutely. Well, that's right. Thy name. Hear ye the rod. Ooh, what is the rod?
It's
for correction. For correction, isn't it? Thy rod and thy staff, they come from the south point through the shepherds, now the rod. And discipline. And who has appointed it? Who is appointed this rod in this case here? The Lord has appointed a rod. And that's why it says it's going to be judgment on his people. Now let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich man thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. 5 verse number 10, treasures of wickedness. What would that be? Treasures of wickedness.
Ill-gotten gains.
Ill-gotten gains. Ill-gotten gains, by the way. That's why in verse 8, the Lord required them to do justly. See, here's going to be some wickedness. They're not doing justly. Their hearts are wicked, and it's proof of their wickedness. The house of the wicked. What is this scant measure? What does that mean? Scant measure.
It's not enough.
Dishonesty.
Not very much.
Not very much. In other words, it should be a pound instead of a pound, 3/4 of a pound, something else. Or nine-tenths of a pound.
Short.
It's short. The scant measure. It's abominable. That's not justly. That's not very justly. And then in verse 11, so I count them pure with the wicked balances. Again, here's wicked balances. What is a balance?
It's something you measure amounts.
All right. And the old time they had a measure with one on one side, one on the other side.
Scale.
A scale. And what was on the one side?
Weight.
A weight. If you want a pound of sugar, put a pound weight, and you put the sugar here, and then it starts to balance. Now, up here, what kind of balances do they have?
They had wicked.
Wicked. For instance,
right.
And you worry about another deceitful. What would be the kind of balance that the weight would put here in order to cheat people? What would this be in this
situation? Yeah,
what would it be roughly?
Sort
of a full pound, what would this weight be?
3/4
of a pound, half a pound. Oh, here's the full pound.
They have a weight that was hollow or something.
That could be weighed as hollow, but their measure would be not right. So they're deceitful balances.
Mm-hmm.
And in the city of Washington, D.C., we have a department of what?
Weights and measures.
Weights and measures. And the standard weights. Now, one of the problems with our country today goes back decades. Is there's no balance or just weight as far as our money is concerned. When it was gold, it was solid. When it was silver, it was even solid. But now we got paper, so there's nothing inside. It's deceitful balances. Hello, Ron. What's up?
I want to comment all the way back to the beginning.
Okay, go ahead.
Concerning Mrs. Wheat's comment about Echo.
Okay.
I guess it isn't what Echo is what she needs, but when you have unobstructed acoustics, they call that perfect acoustics.
Yeah.
You can speak in a normal voice, and your voice will travel several hundred feet, 300-500 feet, and I've seen this done in Chicago at Millennium Park, where one person stands about 200 feet one way, and the other person 200 feet with your backs to each other, and you can talk in a low, audible voice and hear the person almost 200 feet away.
Very good.
You can almost whisper. But also, in Joshua 8 on Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, they have tested, when Joshua was reading the law, they have tested the acoustics there, and they had deep had perfect acoustics also. It's very possible that they could hear the acoustics. And also, when Jesus was preaching from the sea in Matthew 13 on the Sea of Galilee, that's been tested also before. So it's not an echo, it is just unobstructed acoustics, and that has been tested before, and it is very possible.
Very good. Thanks,
Robert. God bless you. We're praying for you as you preach mightily on God's word today.
Thanks for your prayers, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that acoustic
prayer. Good job, acoustic. In fact, Glenn L. Moody and the Moody Memorial Church, and also over there in England, what's his name?
Spurgeon.
See, these were built so they could talk it here, the acoustic, the perfect acoustics, and preaching the word. Yes, Anna?
I heard that there's this Mayan sports arena in, I guess it was Central America. They had this sports arena, and at the two opposite, like the length of a football field, maybe.
100 yards.
Something like that. And they had, like, up at the top here, they would have the leader of one team, and up at the top over here, they would have the leader of the other team, and down here would be the playing field. And between the breaks, the two leaders could lean down, and they could whisper, and they could hear each other. So they could carry on a conversation but in the other parts, nobody could really hear them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very good part, yes, ma'am.
People like Bob Jones Sr.,
mm-hmm.
and Billy Sunday, and those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
The church, the buildings, the rooms they were in were built a certain way with a something that would throw the voice back.
Nice.
That's why they would go like this. You see pictures of these evangelists,
yes.
You know, like this.
Mm-hmm.
They talk out, and everyone could hear them.
Yes. Yes, Tammy?
I think the gym over the Bible Presbyterian Church was made that way.
Really?
It seems like it echoes a
lot. Yeah, it used to be.
Even the auditorium in the church is like that. Because when people sing, a lot of times somebody, you know, in a different part, it's almost like they're echoing. And you're not really singing together. It doesn't seem like you're singing together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. It seems like the gym, definitely.
The gym is hard. I know it's hard to understand when they have, like, the microphone and stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Because you don't need a microphone. You probably don't need it.
Yeah.
Was that the original church, gym?
That was the original church, right.
It's interesting. All right. So the deceitful wicked balance of deceitful ways, the people were dishonest and God holds them for. Did we go to verse 12? I think we went to verse 12. Didn't we read 12? What about the rich man? What do they do?
They're full of violence.
Violence. Would that be to loving mercy if they're violent?
No.
No, it wouldn't love. So they're guilty. And then inhabitants have spoken what?
Lies.
And their tongue?
Lies.
Deceitful in their mouth. That's one of the things that Gail Ribbinger in her book, 61 Pages of Attack on Us, calling us traitors and allying us to Judas Iscariot, the weights, the three weights, my wife and me and Don Jr., and 10 other people, and different things. She says in there that we are like Judas Iscariot. We're false apostles. Judas was lost, bound for hell, and that's what she's got all of us, see. Very, very distinct. What a deceitful. I figured out 300 lies or distortions or deceits or falsehoods. I counted them up, and the answer that I made, 134 pages, 300 out of 61 pages, that's 5 lies per page. It's interesting. But talk about deceitful in their mouth. Full of life. We saw so many lies there that I thought it would be of interest to put in there a definition from a psychologist of what is a pathological liar. 6 characteristics. You read those characteristics in the book and you see how she measures up or doesn't measure up. It's amazing, see. I don't understand. But these people here, spoken lies, their tongue is deceitful. What does deceitful mean? How does it differ from a lie, or is it similar?
Deceitful is when you think that you see one thing, but actually it's another. So that it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
All right.
That's the deceit.
Deceitful, it sounds like it's true, but it's false, all right? Yes, so
a lie is deceitful.
Yeah, it is deceitful.
So, I mean, Satan's called the father of lies.
But when you have a straight out lie, you know exactly what you're dealing with.
Right.
Well, that's if you are able to recognize it as such.
Right.
But you may not be able to.
Well, that's true. But you see, when you butter something up with a sort of a deceitful, just a very sly situation, that is deceit. But a straight out lying, if you know exactly what it is, you can avoid it. It's just like the devil. As a roaring lion, you just get away from it. But as an angel of light, there's real deceit. he's an angel of darkness. I'm going to stop right here. Do you have any comments or questions before we close tonight? Deceitful with their mind. We'll pick this up for rolling next Thursday. Anything other than this for comment? Let us close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, as Micah has told his people what thou hast told him. Help us, Lord, to, in our offerings unto thee, offer with hearts that are pure and not deceitful. Help us to speak truth and not lie. Help us, Lord, in our ministry and our work, that we may be good testimonies of our Savior, not with deceitful balances, distortions as these people had, but help us to walk humbly with thee, saved, born again, and walking step by step, we pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.
Joseph.